Good morning. Check. Am I on? Awesome. This is my first time using this. I'm so excited. And I have even more freedom now to move ahead. Well, good morning. Guten Morgen from Germany. It's good to be back at Harvest. I was not planning on being back this soon. I was here about 2 months ago, and something is happening.
Yes.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. Way to be. No, I'm so happy to be back. I wasn't expecting to be here. I was here a few months ago, and I shared in the services. And from that time, I went back to Europe and spent some time in France and a few other places and had a really impactful two months. And I was getting ready to apply for a three-year residency permit in Germany. And I went to the office, and they were like, actually, there's been some miscommunication. You need to leave like tomorrow. And I was like, oh, that's not really what I was hoping to hear. But when they had said that, I felt a lot of peace. And I was really thankful. After the time kind of went, I was like, what the heck is going on? Again, I feel no control, but that's okay. I've been on a journey my whole life of, you know what, God, I have no idea half the time what's going on, but it's okay. I'll go wherever you want me to. And if it ends me up somewhere where even tomorrow I may not have a clue, that's okay too. And since that moment, I've come back here. I was in the UK for a little bit, working in London, doing some stuff, and then I'll be here. I'm actually so excited because I have not been here in the States for the holidays since 2012. And I was thinking, I was asking my dad, I was like, it's been a while since I've been here. And then I thought about it, I was like, oh, it's been a while. And I know it's been a while because like our country changes so quickly. In Germany and in different places, if you've been to Europe, like they beautifully celebrate Christmas. But like in the little village I live in, it's like little candles and like white lights and like a star. And then you get off the plane here and it's like, whoa, there's lights everywhere. And in fact, like this time around, I was like, wow, there's lights that like move on your homes. You know, they're like, it's like a party. And it's just like, wow, you know, it's like, it's so cool. And then no, it's not like little decorations, you know, it's like the cute nativities and stuff. I mean, it is like, ho, 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 who wouldn't know? It's Christmas time, like snowmen. And like there's one house in my neighborhood. I go running in my neighborhood and I look and there's this one house and I'm like, you can't even see the grass. Like, it is so festive. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, I have so missed being in America this time of year because we're crazy and super commercial, but it's actually really fun if you haven't been in it for a while. And I was just like, man, I'm going to enjoy it. So like you go down the streets and it's like, whoa, 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 Christmas cheer. And you sit in Starbucks and it's like Mariah Carey Christmas going on and you know everything. And I love it. It's so fun. So I'm thrilled, actually, to get this chance to be home and to celebrate with family and see all of you guys. It's a kind of a forced, unexpected, but amazing gift. And so I'm happy to be back, and I'm really excited. And so I'm here this month, so if any of y'all want to hang out, grab coffee or do something, I love it. I love chai. I love to just, like, live life and talk story. Oh, you do too? Uh-huh, yeah. So, yeah, I love that. And again, I just want to, before I start my message, I just want to say thank you guys so much again. Always for your support. I would not be doing any of this without you. God is moving. If you want to hear testimonies, come find me and I'll share with you more. But God is moving in the nations and it's ongoing. And he is the hope of the nations. And we're going to talk a bit about that this morning. So this holiday season, I came back and I was like, wow, we're talking about Advent and hope and love and joy and leading up to Christmas. And I was sitting there thinking last week, and Pastor Harold was talking, and I'm like, okay, Christmas, you know, and all this stuff in my mind, and presents and everything, and, you know, and I'm like, of course, man, Jesus, he's the best news we've ever heard. You know, there's nothing. I'm like, you've heard me say this before, if you've been here. I am so convinced that Jesus is the best news the world has ever heard, could ever hear for all of eternity. It's like the best news in Russia and everywhere, and it's the best news on, like, Ballyhack Road. You know, I mean, he really is. And so last week he was like, oh, we're talking about Advent and anticipation. And I love the word anticipation. You know, I'm really dramatic and I'm okay with that. And And so it's like anticipation. You get excited for something, and it's just like, you know? Like, you get, like, you're in the car, and someone tells you some good news, and it's like, you know, or at least I do, you know? I'm like, someone tells me something, I'm like, oh, come on! I get, my eyes, like, bust out of my face, and I, like, my cheeks hurt so bad, and you get excited about something, and you know, and I can say it's genuine, you know? And we look at Christmas, and we're like, yes, we go through the motions every single year. But every year, what an amazing, wild, cool opportunity. I love having this, not the microphone. Amazing, cool opportunity that we get to have to remember who he is, to remember why he came, and to remember that whole package of, like, deliciousness. I mean, it's better than, like, cocoa and cookies. Yeah, even though that's awesome. I love our normal expressions of, like, cocoa, cookies, and carols. It's so fun. But man, Jesus is the best news we ever hear, and he is the light of the world and hope. And today, the title of this is going to be Engaging Our Hearts with Hope. Engaging Our Hearts with Hope. And, you know, I'm a very visual person. And so Pastor Harold was talking last week about, you know, John the Baptist, and was talking about this and the coming and all that. And in my mind, I'm playing these things, like, in my mind. Like, if I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about this in my mind. And it's like, here's John the Baptist. And then I go back and read it. And I'm like, here's this, you know, the people, you know. Let me backtrack for a second. The story of God is crazy. It is the most wild, in-depth, profound, extravagant thing we could ever read. And we see it from beginning to end. Creation, God, so God created, Revelation, New Jerusalem, all of that. And we see this moment in history, in the story of Israel, these people. You know, I think, let's just jump into their shoes for a second. We see Jerusalem, and if you've ever been in the Middle East, who's been in the Middle East? Yeah, it's a very different world than what maybe some of us here experience on a daily basis. And they have their city, they have their culture, they have the Pharisees, they have the Sadducees, they have poverty, they have pain, they have a Roman government, a Roman Empire that's oppressing them. They have a lot kind of going on. They have, I mean, you name it. I mean, can you almost picture yourself there for a moment? And you have this country, like this nation of Israel. Yeah, and they have, God chose them. He's like, Abraham, and he had these people. And they became his people, and they go through this journey of history. Stay with me, because I think if we can get the story, our brains will explode. And we get the story, and I'm going to paraphrase, so I may not have everything, all my ducks in a row with this, but Abraham, and then we see the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, go to Egypt, and then they come out of slavery. And they go to mount this crazy mountain, and they get this law that shows them who God is, and they are entrusted with the knowledge of God on the earth. And they go through this time, they go into the promised land. I mean, you're talking drama, wars, things going on. I mean, there was a lot going on back then. They go in, they take the land. They have the times of judges. They have prophets, these crazy men, saying, repent and turn to the Lord. Remember who he is, his crazy love for you. Remember the law of the Lord. Remember his covenant. Remember what he's done. And we see these people go through judges and kings and prophets. And they have good kings. And they have not good kings. They have really great moments. And they have moments that they probably wish was never written down. And we see these people go on this journey, and we see the story of God, how time and time again, from Genesis all the way to the end of the Old Testament, it's almost like he is speaking into history. He's like, repent, follow me, remember that I love you, remember that I am the creator who made you out of dust. Follow me, I have made this choice. I want you as my own. And we see them go through this journey. Please go read it. It is amazing. It will change your life. And they go through this, and it's not an easy thing to read either. It's actually quite challenging. Yeah. If you want to know the character and nature of God, read the Old Testament. You will see the wild patience of God and the mercy of God. But we see these people, and they, by the end of their time as a nation at that point, we see them getting, they had things right and had things wrong. A lot of them got split up. A lot of things happened. And a little bit of them were taken into exile into a foreign country in Babylon. And they were there for 70 years. And during the 70 years, they had time to reflect. They read their scriptures that we have today of their journey with God, of how they didn't follow God, of how God spoke this, of how this happened. And after 70 years, they're released and they go back to their homeland. And their homeland is not the same. I mean, for one, can you imagine being gone from somewhere 10 years, much less 70 years? Yeah, I'm gone for 5 years, and sometimes I'm like, what the heck is this place? You know, and they go back to this place, and they begin to reflect and remember and rebuild. And over time, okay, I'm taking you on a crazy story of God. If you want to know more, come to a DTS with YWAM, we'll go all into it. we see this story, and they come back to this land, and for hundreds of years, they rebuild. And they rebuild. And we see these people, they have the knowledge of God. The people of Israel are trusted with the knowledge of God on the earth. They know who Yahweh is. They see his law and they want to honor his law. One reason they know if they don't honor it, they were put into exile and they never wanted to repeat the past. And so what we see happening is we see Israel over time, if you study history, they begin to create laws that kind of protect them from even getting close to breaking the actual laws. Laws upon laws upon laws. And I think if you were to study and observe scripture, and you make all the observations of how the culture and the activity and what was going on at the time with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and mindset of the people, you could see that they had a very good understanding that God was a judge. They had a very good understanding that there were laws that needed to be kept. God was this way, but this is how we are. And we see over time, things begin to get dry. We see that the people are oppressed by this Roman Empire, and people are like, when is our Savior going to come? Regardless of what they knew, some of them thinking it's physical, who knows what other people thought. But people were like, something needs to happen. Like, we are oppressed. These things are happening. When is it going to happen? And then all of a sudden, I'm making a long story short, but we're getting to my point. Okay? A very long story short. We begin to see, like, this crazy thing is happening. These people, Israel's happening. And then all of a sudden, here comes this crazy man. And I was just reading before worship in the first service. You know, he's covered in mule hair. Can you just imagine somebody walking down the street in mule hair? Sorry. You know, he's covered in mule hair. He's eating locusts and honey, and he's out in the wild. And he's saying, repent, repent. The kingdom of heaven is coming. And people are like, who is this guy? What's going on? Something's happening. He sounds like the prophets from long ago. Something's going on. Can you just imagine that happening today? Can you picture somebody in like furry garments? Not like your fur coat, but like, you know, some kind of like mule skin, and he's out running in Suffolk saying, the kingdom is coming, and he's eating locusts and eating honey. We'd be like, what the heck is going on? On the news, some wild man out in Suffolk, because, you know. You know, but this guy is out there and he's baptizing people. And it's like, it's almost like what last week Pastor Harold said is there's this, what's happening? What's going on? The kingdom, what are you talking about? Repent, turn from the way you were thinking. Turn from your ways, let go of these things. The kingdom is coming, repent, be baptized. Come before the Lord, he's coming, he's coming. And I put myself, the reason I'm telling this story is because I love to put myself in these people's shoes. When you study the Bible, use your imagination a little bit. Use your imagination. Whether you're 5 or you're 50, use your imagination and jump yourself in to the shoes of the people and be like, what could have possibly been going on? If you were that woman sitting there, what would have been going through your mind? You've seen all this oppression, you see things going on, and suddenly there's this voice. Out of all the other voices, of all the religious voices, of all the different things going on in the chaos, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Get ready. Get your heart ready. I couldn't imagine, regardless of their worldview or mindset, which it was very different than ours, there had to have been something in them that hope was kindled. That what they had been waiting for, that freedom, the things of, oh man, something was coming. Yeah? And the reason, man, if you think of the story from Genesis to Revelation, Creator God, in the beginning, he created all things and made man for a garden so that we could have relationship with him. And then that separation happened. We see him establishing himself, wanting a people, a place, and his presence on the earth again. And this moment in time has gone by and humanity has gone up and down time and time again, these people who've been oppressed and have been waiting and who've been longing, a earth and a creation that groans. Something happens, a voice that says, get ready. Get ready. And I want to just put up John chapter 1. Logan, if you can hear me, put up John chapter 1, please, my friend. I love this passage. If you want to turn there, please feel free to turn there. John chapter 1, verse 1. Get this, right? Creator God. We're going back to the beginning. Oh, man, I'm getting excited. The Word, come on. In the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then there came a man named John. God loved us so much. God, it says God's love so wild, so reckless, so deep, so profound and so pure, who created us from the beginning, loved us so much. It says he was the one who created everything, that in who he was and seeing his humanity, he literally came from heaven to earth, wrapped himself in skin and bones, and embraced humanity and walked with us for 30 years, 30-something years. Because of his crazy love, not because of his crazy judge. Because of his crazy love. And we see this suddenly come on the scene. It's like, hey, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and that was the life and light, and boom, there's a voice. Repent, it's coming. Jesus turns up on the scene. And he doesn't show up in like a huge, crazy golden scepter and sword yet, and he hasn't shown up on a big white robe, and he's like, you know what, you better get it together. Poor you. No, he shows up humbly. He shows up and he doesn't show up with like bells and whistles and Christmas lights. There's no like big snowmen outside the barn, I don't think. Can you just imagine? you know, there's like big mules. But, you know, he shows up and then we see this in this moment of humility. And can you just imagine the anticipation of that moment? Whether you were Mary, who had like a crazy angel show up and say, hi, you're going to have a child, what? you know? And then to shepherds and people coming from the east. And can you imagine the anticipation? All of creation is like, whoa, what the heck is happening? Who knows? And use your imagination with me. Yeah, what's going on? And we see this baby in a manger, and he's born to us, and it's like, whoa, you know what? Now begins change. Something has happened that's going to change everything. And what do we see? Baby Jesus doesn't get up on a horse and start, you know, like moving around. No, he lives life. He lives, he's real, he was a human. And what I love about Jesus is it looks like he really embraced his humanity. Fully God, fully man. And he lived life. Like he actually lived. He didn't just, I'm assuming he probably, if you look at scripture and study it, it doesn't seem like he just like sat in a closet for 30 years. And was like, I can't wait for the time. You know, that's not what he did. Like he lived life. He was a carpenter. He had mom, he had dad. He had probably a neighbor that was nosy. You know, you never know. I mean, it's kid Jesus. I wonder what he was like. I wonder like what those pictures would be like. You know, you look, but wow, there he is. And we see Jesus and and we see him and he comes and he lives this life. And he is so, you see, Israel had the knowledge of God. They had the scriptures, but he comes and he shows them. He's like, actually guys, you see it, but you're not seeing the whole thing. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Everything is summed up in those things. Don't lose the love because of the law. And we see Jesus living life. I mean, he's so crazy. He said this. He's like, after we go further in John, he's like, I and the Father are one. I only do what I see the Father doing. And then if you like actually think about that, he only did what he saw the Father doing. Well, what did he do? He healed the sick. He loved people that society said was not worthy of love. He touched people that people would look at and be like, ew. He loved people. He made time for people. He called the short tax collector that people didn't like, hey, come out of the tree, let's go have some food. He went and sat at a well waiting for a woman to come out in the middle of the day who had over five husbands, who was probably quite ashamed. He sat there and waited for her and ministered to her. He gathered people together that were so different that maybe in modern leadership and society, we would be very intimidated to have people so different than us and so strong. He wasn't intimidated. When we see him walking on the earth, and he's living there for 30, and then he's living there 30 years, and at 30, he starts to build his team, and they start doing these things, and it's like, there's signs and wonders and miracles, and it's like, you know what? Love, 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 for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that no one should perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his son in the world to be like, you know what, everyone, you just better get your act together. No, he came because he was hope, he was life, and he showed us the Father. And putting it into our shoes today, I want you to write this down. In engaging your heart with hope is know the heart of the Father. Write it down in big words or in your phone. It's 2018, you write it on your phone. Yeah, so eight almost. Yeah, know the heart of the Father. Why? Because when we know who God is, when we see who he is, when we don't just see, you know, some people are like, well, you know, God is just so angry constantly. I challenge you to dig deeper in the word and know the story, which is why I started off with that. When we see who God is, we see the story. We see who we are because of who God is. And as I was preparing this week, I was going through some of the other scriptures I'm going to show you. And I wrote down, I was like, you know what, God, I'm just going to write down. I'm just chilling at a cafe in Norfolk. And I'm like, I'm just going to write down stuff. And who are you, God? And this is just from a few verses. Where is my note here? Okay, are you ready? Scripture teaches us. Yeah? Get ready. Are you ready? He's creator. He's father, protector, provider. He's the mercy giver, the grace giver, the lover of justice. He gives peace. He's the redeemer, the restorer, the friend, the defender, the healer, who brings liberty, who comforts us, who consoles us, who gives beauty for ashes. He's the giver of joy. He's the builder. He's big. He's glorious. He's holy. He's mighty and awesome. He's everlasting and eternal. He's the king. He's the mighty warrior. He's the deliverer. He's crazy powerful. He's the shepherd of our souls. He's enthroned in his worship forever. He's personal. He's patient and kind. He's full of self-control, full of peace, goodness. He's faithful, he's gentle. He hates evil and sin, and he invites us to enter his presence. And he promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. And he is the Word who became flesh. Yeah. And that's my first challenge this morning when we talk about engaging our hearts with hope, is if we want to engage our hearts with hope, we need to know what that hope is. The hope started in the beginning with creation, when God said, let there be light. And he said, let us make man. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us to show us that there was so much more than what we knew. There was so much more than what we were settling for. There was so much more. And the Word became flesh. He wrapped himself up in skin and walked the earth and lived a life that changed the course of the world forever. He became flesh. And I want to encourage you as we go into Christmas season, woohoo! Yeah, as we go and we do our thing and we live our lives and we drink our eggnogs and all that stuff, are we engaged with the heart of the Father? Are we open? You know, this little thing that everyone's reading, like, are we first open to his heart? Are we open that he is the Father who is our protector, who is our provider, who is our counselor, and who walks us through pain and grief, who walks us through crazy seasons of joy? Or do we know who he is? When we know who he is, we can hold to who he is, no matter what we go through in this life. And one of the most maturing things as believers, as we walk, whether you're 80 or you're 8, every day for the rest of our lives, as we give our life to Jesus, you know what? Every single day, every day of our life, whether it's like the really rainy one and all we can do is like lay on the couch and watch Netflix, you know? Or if it's like that really great one where you just like led 10 people in prison to Jesus, amen. Like whatever it may be, we get that joy to know God more every single day for the rest of your life, for all of eternity. You have the gift of salvation the moment you said yes to Jesus, and you get to spend the rest of your life every single day, even when you look in the mirror and you're like, really? You're like, what? I definitely don't feel it today. No, you get the joy every day to say yes to him. You get the joy every day to say, Lord, I want to know you more today than I did yesterday. Lord, show me what it means that you are my counselor. Show me what it means that you are my protector. Every day for like weeks, you could think about just one of those things. And he is. And scripture screams at us. And that's why I like this moment of John the Baptist where it's like, you see everything going on in this moment. It's like, what is going on? That moment of anticipation, something is happening. All of creation, Jesus is coming. And so he came and he lived and he died. And like I said, he was here and he showed us the Father. He showed us that God is love, wild, radical love that we never deserve, but man, he lavished on us so freely. I want to challenge you every day of your life, get to know the Father. He gives us his Holy Spirit to know him, even when you don't feel like you have it all together, and many days we don't. Even when you have more questions than you feel like you have answers. Even when you feel like you're doubting and you're wrestling with unbelief. God's not shocked. He loves and he leads us. And the next point is, write this down. So the first one was know the heart of the Father. And the second is know your heart. And don't lose your heart. Can you go to the next verse, please? Jesus said this, the Lord is on me. We know this verse, so leading up to it, if you go to the next one, please. One of my examples that I'm kind of diving into right now is, I think it's really easy sometimes that, you know, I'm telling you, we know God, we get to know him. But sometimes I wrestle in my own heart with Christian culture because in our explorations of diving and knowing the knowledge of God, we sometimes turn off our hearts. And we let the world go around us. And man, there's so much happening in our world. On Twitter, on like the 15 different news stations, which who knows, in our families, in our workplaces, in our hearts, there's so much going on. And I think sometimes what we can do is as we go further in exploring God, sometimes, well, I hear even myself, you know, I'm going through something in life and you guys, I want to be a man that my heart is like engaged with my life. In Ephesians 2, it says that he made us alive, that when Jesus rose from the dead, he made us alive and seated us with him in heavenly places. That means if I'm alive, I have got a heartbeat. That God created me as Ian and Marguerite and Julia and Frank as people with heartbeats. People that we have something inside of us. The moment we said yes to Jesus, there's a fire that burns inside of us, whether it's a big one or we feel like it's just a tiny little ember of a flame. He made us to have hearts that burn. And I feel like sometimes, you know, as we go into moments like this, we explore the heart of God, we look at each other and we're like, oh, God's got it. You're grieving. He's in control. Oh, just put that, you know, don't worry about it. Don't deal with things. Don't deal with life. Oh, joy, great, but don't express yourself that much. You know, this. And sometimes we put ourselves in boxes. And the more we begin to put ourselves in boxes, we're holistic people. If we study anything, even with science, the moment we turn off some things, everything else is going to shut down too. Yeah? And God created us as men and women who have a heart. And we get the privilege to know his heart and also to open our heart to know him and his heart even more. But part of knowing his heart is not telling myself and putting quick band-aids and saying, God's in control, God's got it. That means I don't have to feel, experience, or go through, or be engaged with anything or anyone around me. We are created with hearts that beat, that we're meant to feel, that grieve, that have our moments, that have joy, that have anger, that have many different things. And God created us as men and women to actually be alive in light of who he is, in light of his character and nature, that we never have to lose hope. Why? Because he is alive. Jesus rose from the dead and our eyes are set for eternity. We never have to lose that hope inside of us. But sometimes what we do is we walk around. I do this. I'm extremely guilty of this. Amen. God's got it. How are you doing? Great. And I go home and I'm like, my life is terrible. And I'm like, I don't want to do this. And instead of actually letting ourselves be engaged with life, with the world, with our families, with our friends, with our troubling circumstances, we try to put ourselves in these boxes of not feeling anything. I'm a feeler. And I'm okay with that. But not, you know, and we all express ourselves differently, but we were not meant to build up walls and create big whitewashed walls that actually keep us from knowing God and saying God's got it, he's good, and actually coming up with something different in our minds. We were made to live engaged with the heart of God, knowing the heart of God and who he is, and then actually being able to truly live in the light of his love. And that I'm gonna repeat myself, that's my second point, is know your heart. And don't lose your heart. And Jesus, in this example I'm going to show you, I was really touched in listening to this because I thought to myself, like, Jesus, fully God, fully man. And as I said before, you could really see him embracing his humanity. And he's in the, you know, he had this moment, he's at the Last Supper. He is doing his thing with his disciples. He goes to the garden. People are passed out. He's probably like, what is wrong with you people? You can't pray. You know, blah, blah, blah. And he literally, this is what he's saying. This is Jesus, okay? My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. This is Jesus, guys. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Jesus knew grief. He knew suffering. He knew pain. He knew what was coming before him, but he didn't say, God's got it. And amen, because don't hear me wrong on this. God is in control and he is good and truth is truth. But hear my mentality of what I'm trying to address here. He's good, he's got it. I don't need to feel. Just walk around my life and pretend like everything's okay. Sooner or later, it won't be if you wall yourself up. Jesus engaged his heart. He wasn't afraid to feel. He wasn't afraid. I mean, he probably had quite a bit he was going through, but he said, not my will, but yours. Even to the very last thread, he held on to that hope. He didn't say, well, Jesus, you know, you can see the end, so just get over it. You don't see that example. You see him raw. We see the Jesus we talk about, the one who's gonna come with thunder and lightning and clouds of glory. He's sitting in this garden, and he's like, this is me, if it's possible. And how many times do we close up our own humanity, close up our own hearts for the sake of looking great for everyone, for the sake of looking perfect like we have it all together? Man, my prayer is that we would be men and women who live alive. I'm not saying that every day you're going to walk around and be sweating blood, okay? I'm saying, what is the posture of your heart? Whether you're a man, you're a woman, you're a child, we were made to live alive. We were made for freedom. We were made to give and receive the love of the Father who gives us gifts, who is promised to never leave us or forsake us. But sometimes, as he tries to do that, sometimes in our own shames and our own disappointments, we choose to walk away from that. And I want to encourage you, as we look at the life of Jesus, look into this week. As we look at the life of Jesus, what did he actually live? What example did he see for us? May we not be men and women who close our hearts to hope. May we not be men and women who we allow the disappointments and the pain and the anger to numb our hearts. Those are part of life. I get disappointed. I have gone through depressions. I have gone through major problems, as many of us in this room. But we are not meant to stay there. It doesn't say, you know, these things won't happen to you. Life happens to you. Some of you are walking through some of this stuff now. Yeah. But we are not meant to stay for the next decade in that place. To grieve what we grieve. To walk through what we walk through. To have the questions that we have. To wrestle with the things that we wrestle with. But man, may we not be men and women who lose our fire because of everything going on around us. When the one who's in us is greater than everything around us. That even on my most terrible day when I look in the mirror and I'm like, God, I am not feeling it. I just want to go do something else. He's still there. That hope never changes. When we lose people, when we go through pain, when we see hopelessness going on, we have a choice to just go with that or to say, no, the fire of hope lives inside of me. Jesus rose from the dead. His Holy Spirit lives in me. And I am wildly and extravagantly and profoundly loved. I'm so deeply loved. And I don't even understand it. I can't understand all of it. And I don't have to understand all of it. I just get to receive it. And as I walk through it, even like Jesus did, as he approached going through the greatest pain, he could, oh man, not my will, but yours be done. What did that say? It said he trusted beyond and held to that hope when he didn't feel it. And so we need to engage with the heart of God. Dig your face in your Bibles. Like, grab it, you guys. Grab it. And just, you know, let's just be dramatic here. Ooh! Dig your face into it. Even if it's just one scripture, well, I don't really feel like reading chapters. Read a scripture. Read a verse. And let that sink into your heart. God's not like, well, you didn't read three chapters today. There weren't even numbers when this was written. You know, sometimes I think we need to just let go and let God break the boxes that we have put around ourselves and the walls that we have put around ourselves that keep us from actually engaging with his heart and actually keeping us from engaging with our own hearts. He died so that we could live. The King is coming. The Messiah is coming so that we could truly live, not just so you could have fire insurance. He came so that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. And no matter what you do, whether you go to work every single day, whether you're chilling at home, whatever, you're traveling to China, whatever it is you do, if you have said yes to Jesus, that fire is inside of you. And we have a choice. You know, and for me, guys, like, just in my heart for a second, like, I have gone through a lot of stuff this year. I have gone through some motions. I'm like, I have no idea if I'm actually going to get out of this. Literally, I'm like sitting here, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I went through months at a time, different seasons, different ones of us go through. And I'm like, you know what? And I got to the end of this season, and I'm like, God, may my heart, what time is it? May my heart never, no matter what, because I know there's pain, and I'm feeling pain, and I know there's confusion. There is confusion. I know we live in a world where there's crazy injustice and things going on, and this thing going on at home, and the family did this, and this is going through this. God, may I as a man, may you as a woman, may we be people, no matter how old we get, that our hearts will burn forever. Our hearts, even if it doesn't feel like much, that our hearts, that the flame that goes deep into us is not going to just be thrown out because it don't feel like it. But no, today and every day, if we are a child of God, we were made to be lights that burn. Amen. And even if it doesn't feel like much, it's there. And we have the gift and the choice and the ability through the hard roads that we take, through the suffering, through the grief, through the drama, through the joys and the awesome days, all of the above, to carry hope in our hearts. I don't care how old we get or if we've heard the Bible read to us 25 times. He is alive. And his fire is fresh. And someone spoke out, there's fresh bread. There is fresh bread. You're going to eat it? We were made for so much more. And that's why I'm like, okay, so they saw John the Baptist on the scene in the story, right? Whoa, anticipation, he's coming. And then now we get to 2017. Ow, that's a good stretch. We get to 2017, and now it's like the king has come. We see he came and he lived and he suffered and he died. Can you show the next verse, please, before I go to this next point? 1 Thessalonians 4:13, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, but so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We have said yes to Jesus, we will always have hope. And we do not have to stay in dungeons of despair. Whatever your journey, whatever you have to walk through it. But remember always that there's hope. Always that there's hope. And so now we're here today in 2017. And we can look and I'm like, oh, anticipation. Christmas is coming. Yeah, come on. Every day, let's have it. But I'm like, no, every day. Like, or maybe some days it's like, you know. He's here. He's alive. He has come. And he longs for a relationship with us. He longs for life with us. Not some like fake, cool thing. God's got it. Awesome. You know, he wants the real, raw you. That's what he wants. And sometimes we try to paint pictures. God, here I am. Look at me. We put a picture. We try to paint our own face and say, God, don't I look great? God's not fooled. God knows you. And we first need to actually learn to be real with him and honest with him and then be honest with ourselves and let his truth heal us. Let his truth deliver us. Let his fire and his life ignite us that we don't have to walk around in a world that's, you know, it says even, I think it's in Mark or Matthew, in the last days, because of sin and lawlessness, the hearts of many will go cold. May we never be those hearts that do. But may we be hearts, whether we gave our life to Jesus yesterday or you're going to today or, you know, we have 50 years ago. May our hearts never be hearts that grow cold, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. May we engage with hope because we can. When it was not possible before, it is possible now. And so I want to encourage you, let yourself feel, let yourself know God. Not here. It says in Ephesians 3, Paul's praying for the Ephesians. He says, I pray that you would have wisdom and understanding to know him better, that you would know the height, width, and depths of his love that surpasses knowledge. His love is so big and crazy, it goes beyond the way you think. May we have a revelation of his love. May we have a revelation that his hope, we are invited every day to live it and to be carriers of hope. This generation right now is calling out for hope. Look at all of our media. Look at all of our movies coming out. Light, dark, who's the hero? Where's the hope? A generation is screaming for it. And Jesus is the light. He is the light that shines in the darkness, and his light shines in us. You carry the hope. And look into your homes. Look into your families. Look into your work. Look into your missions trip. Look into your life and say, Lord, show me the hope. Show me you, Jesus. Show me you in my pain. Show me you in my grief. Show me you in my suffering. Show me you in this joyful moment. Show me you. May I know you more today than I did yesterday. There is a better way. There is a higher way, and it is Jesus, the only way. Amen? Amen. And so I want to stir us up this morning. Me too. That we wouldn't, and don't look at it as someone who goes on mission trips and comes back fiery. No, may we, no matter what we do, and however you express yourself, and it all looks so different, but may you burn. May you burn your burn. Your burn that he has put inside of you. Don't compare. Don't get into the trap of comparison. Well, you know, her burn. I should look like that, but I don't. No, you burn your burn. And get rid of the trap of comparison that keeps us in boxes. Burn your burn and be free and actually live the life, whatever that looks like that he's called you to, live that with all your heart. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all your heart. May we not just give him a piece of it. Lord, you can be engaged with my heart, but not this part. No, man, my prayer for me is, man, God, have my whole heart, even if I don't know how. Take it. Amen? Amen. So we're going to take communion with this as a now. And I'd just like to invite the guys to get ready. Let me just make sure I got everything I wanted to say. As I look at 2018, I work with young people all the time. And if any of you want to come to Germany, come on. Our world is crying out for hope. And we carry that answer. And those of us, as we go into the future for all of our generation, those who will lead us will be those who carry hope. And I want to ask you, as we get ready, and they're going to take an offering first for the House of Blessing, I believe, that's going to go around. Those amazing guys. Come on, so awesome what we get to do. But as we get ready to take communion, you guys, I think it's such a joy that we get to remember. We get to remember who he is. We get to remember what he did. And we get to acknowledge that. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking something to you right now. He's definitely speaking to me. I want to ask you is before you take communion this morning, where are you at on this walk? And we can go ahead and begin to distribute elements, yeah. Thank you. Where are you at on this walk? Do you know Jesus? Have you given him your whole life and heart? Some of you have been saying, well, I need to wait until I get this together. You actually don't have to. Jesus is not scared of the mess of our lives. He embraces it and runs after us with a whole heart. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I want to know the heart of the Father more, to know who Father God is. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, actually, I need to look at my own heart this time of looking at hope and Christmas. Is my heart actually engaged? Is my heart alive? Is my heart beating? Yeah, maybe your physical heart's beating, but is your heart beating? Are there things you need to lay down? Are there things that you need to say? Is there a prayer you need to pray? That you would engage with your heart and not lose your heart. And actually fan into flame. Even greater, yeah, come on. Even greater the love. Even greater the relationship. So let's just take a moment with that, and then I'll read a prayer, and then we will take the bread and the juice. Thank you, Jesus. If you have a prayer between you and the Lord that you just want to speak out in the privacy of where you're at right now, please feel free to do that. And if you're hungry and you want more of God this morning, tell him that. You and him. And if you want to give him your life and make him Lord of your life, tell him. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come and be Lord of my life, now and evermore. I'm going to read out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Jesus at the Last Supper took the bread. Let's take the bread. And he lifted it up and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. Thank you, Jesus. Let's hold up the cup. Jesus said, he held up the cup, said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. God, we thank you for the blood of the new covenant. We thank you for your blood that was paid that we might have relationship with you, that we might be able to enter into your heart and be able to engage with your heart and to have relationship with you for now and eternity. Lord, we take this, we remember, God, it's our joy, God, that we remember you. And we say, thank you for the hope that this blood has given us in our hearts. Let's take it. Amen. Amen. My challenge for us this week, let's remember the hope that we've been called to. As you read your devotional, as you go through your week, may hope be like a revolving like Christmas light sign in our eyes and in our mind. May we be men and women who carry the hope in us every day, who let our hearts go there, who let our hearts grow closer to God. Amen. Amen. Would you turn to the person next to you and tell them they're a carrier of hope? Yeah. Thank you.
And before you leave this morning, I need to just a serious announcement here. There was a major accident at the Broken Egg entrance right there on Kempsville Road. We're going to pray just a moment for the people involved, but you cannot go west on Kempsville, that direction. You must exit the back parking lot because they've closed Kempsville off in front of the church. So you must exit out of the back parking lot, and you will not be able to turn right on Kempsville to go west. So just wanted to let you know. But let's, as a church family, let's pray that the hope of Jesus Christ for those involved would be here. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. And Father, right now we pray for the individuals involved. We pray, God, that you'd spare their lives, that you'd bring healing to their body. God, we ask you as a church family that there would be resurrection power that would be evident in the lives of those involved in this accident. And Father, for everyone that is connected to this accident, we ask, Lord, just as we talked about the hope of Jesus Christ, may the hope of Jesus Christ be evident in their lives and in their families, even at this moment of this tragedy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.